In Sudan today, UN Special Envoy Jan Pronk said the Sudanese government has agreed to give relief groups greater access to the western Darfur region and to disarm Arab militias there. More than 1 million people have been displaced from their homes in Darfur. Many of them have taken refuge in neighboring Chad. Efforts to get food and medicine to them have been hampered by war, bureaucracy, and seasonal rains, which make roads in the region impassable. NPR's Jason Beaubien traveled to the area and has this report.
The Tulum refugee camp sprawls across the dry, dusty sand of eastern Chad, along the border with the Darfur region of Sudan. Most of the families here live in canvas, military-style tents. Some, however, only have crude windbreaks made of sticks, burlap bags, and animal hides. The refugees were mostly farmers in Darfur, but in the desert-like terrain here, little will grow, and anyway, they're not allowed to plant crops or keep livestock around the refugee camps. So they survive mainly on the tons of rice shipped in by the World Food Program. Rice is not normally a staple of their diets, and malnutrition, particularly among children, is rampant. Miriam Adja has brought her granddaughter to a nutrition clinic run by Doctors Without Borders in the center of the camp. Her granddaughter, Jenda, is 9 months old, but only weighs 11 pounds. She cries occasionally, but usually she's lethargic. On this afternoon, in the intense midday heat, she's too tired to even wipe away the flies that have nestled on her eyelids. Adja is 77 years old. Her leathery black face is framed by a black scarf. She says her granddaughter started to lose weight when her family fled from Darfur in February. We came from Darfur, she says, after planes from the Sudanese military and Arab Janjaweed militiamen on horseback attacked our village. She says the militia killed most of the men in the village, including her son. The Janjaweed have been accused of systematic rape and ethnic cleansing of the black residents of Darfur. Adja and many others here believe they've done this with the direct backing of the Sudanese government. Adja says the women and children of her family trekked for 2 weeks across the Sahel to get to Chad. She pulls at her faded black dress and says they arrived with just the clothes they're wearing. Providing food, water, and shelter to the hundreds of thousands of Sudanese like Adja who fled from their homes has been a huge challenge. In the Tulum camp, staff at the health clinic say there's not enough clean water, nor are there sufficient latrines. The refugees have been drinking rainwater that collects in pools, and many of the children have come down with severe diarrhea.
The malnutrition starts, and the increase every day.
Virginie Cordonnier is a nurse with Doctors Without Borders. She's been working in Eastern Chad since January.
For example, we have got a supplementary feeding center, and for the moment we have got 800 children.
800 malnourished children in a camp of less than 10,000 people. And while most of the children respond well to the intense high-calorie feeding program, some of them don't. Malnutrition kills several kids here every week. Life inside the camps in Chad is difficult, tedious, and at times deadly, but the conditions here are far better than they are across the border in Sudan. Aid groups estimate that 200,000 Sudanese refugees are in Chad. Inside Sudan, another 1 million Darfur villagers have sought shelter in loosely organized camps, primarily around three large cities. For months, the Sudanese government blocked efforts by international relief agencies to provide assistance in these camps. Kitty McKenzie with the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees regional office in Nairobi recently returned from Darfur. She says for months, relief workers had difficulty even getting visas to enter Sudan. Access to Darfur has improved recently, McKenzie says, but the government still imposes numerous layers of red tape.
Once humanitarian workers get to Khartoum, the capital of Sudan, they then have to get permission to go to Darfur. Once they get to a capital city in one of the three Darfur states, then they have to get permission to go outside the town. For example, in El Geneina, we have to get permission every single morning to go to any of the IDP camps outside the town. And you can imagine this delays our movement quite severely.
One of the most difficult things about providing assistance to the people of Darfur is just getting there. Darfur sits in the middle of the continent, just below the Sahara Desert. Ships carrying food aid for Darfur are docking at ports on three sides of the continent, in Cameroon on the Atlantic, in Libya on the Mediterranean, and to the east at Port Sudan on the Red Sea. Once the food gets to Africa, it has to be trucked overland in all-terrain vehicles to refugee camps in Chad and Sudan. Robert Gillenwater, a logistics officer with the World Food Program, says the problem of getting food across Chad to the refugees is now compounded by heavy rains.
For the next 4 to 5 months, rains bring almost all traffic to a halt in the southern part of the country.
So the WFP has started to send its trucks farther north through the Sahara Desert. And even in the desert, flash floods in dry riverbeds called wadis has made traveling in the region treacherous. There are no roads or bridges, just tracks across the arid landscape. Gillenwater says because of the rains, he's been forced to order his trucks to stop crossing some of the riverbeds.
If a truck is trying to cross the wadi and he gets stuck and it takes some time to get unstuck while he's working on getting his truck out of the wadi, water may be coming gushing down and take away the driver and the food. So as an extra precaution now, we're not allowing the trucks to cross some of the more dangerous wadis, and we're using porters, and we're doing it that way.
Inside Sudan, the World Food Program has started dropping bags of grain out of airplanes to get food into some of the most remote parts of Darfur. While in recent months the Darfur crisis has started to gain international attention, aid agencies say another of the big problems they face is cash. The United Nations has raised less than half of the $350 million it says it needs to provide food, medicine, and shelter to the 1.2 million people driven out of their homes in Darfur. Jason Beaubien, NPR News.